Business owners like you should have a strategy that empowers your team, giving you time to focus on what matters most.
And we understand the challenges of leading and building a high-achieving team, which is why we created Babylon, a system that helps businesses increase revenue, build a healthy culture, and create accountability throughout the organization.
Babylon.
It's a big number.
Here we go. The Matt Nemoli speech.
It's a big number. I mean, it's not 2,000, but it's not, 21.
It's not good enough for you, but we're going to get to there.
We're on our way.
We're going to get to the Matt Nemoli satisfaction zone, which is around 1,900 podcasts.
I think 1,900 to 2,000 range would get me in the satisfaction zone.
I like that. I know what I'm not doing this episode is I'm not jumping right into my personal
best. Please. Yeah, that really threw us for a loop last week.
I know. I got zero DMs about the upset people of the world, but I'm sure they were there. But yes.
I DM'd them all and told them not to DM you. I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah. And I think we are done. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I think we are done with the Spanish Inquisition.
I think we might have graduated.
Yes. So episode 21.
Does that mean that we're no longer Mateo and Diego?
I think we never were. I think it's okay. But
yeah.
When you think of 21, what's the first thing that comes into your mind?
Well, legal drinking age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does that mean like we've graduated to that next level? Like we don't need to speak in Spanish terms anymore?
I think so. I don't think there's graduating from Spanish. I just think that now we should talk about maybe what the number means to us. So 21.
What was your first drink as a legal 21-year-old?
Legal 21-year-old first drink, I was... The day I turned 21, the Boston Red Sox won the World Series.
Whoa!
Yeah, I was in Fenway.
So you had one drink that day?
My first drink of legal was at Boston Beer Works, and it was a blueberry Wachusett blueberry beer.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good beer.
Yeah, it was just like one of those things. It's like I don't think I had one blueberry beer all in college, and I turned 21. And I'm like, give me 17 blueberries in a beer, please.
Yeah. It is funny.
it is a cool beer to have.
If you ask that question to a bunch of people, you get some weird answers.
Yeah.
Because I think that like people are so excited for that first drink, you know, that first like legal drink to order something that they're not gonna go to the bar and just be like, can I get a Bud Light? Like they're gonna go to the bar and say something that like, yeah, I've never ordered this before. I wanna order it.
So what was yours?
Mine was a mudslide.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which was a horrible decision. But
probably led to an interesting night.
Well yeah, I mean mudslide plus anything else is a horrible decision.
You had more than just a mudslide?
I had a mudslide and a few beers.
Sinner.
I know.
Absolute sinner.
But I'd love to know what other people's first beers are.
Yeah.
First drinks.
That's interesting.
Like the Four Horsemen or something. Crazy.
Episode 21. All right. So today we're going to go into an interesting topic because we just tackled about how to go into a pediatrician, step-by-step process. Pediatrician is your niche, what to do. But now what are we going to talk about now that we have a step-by-step process?
Yeah, once you have defined your niche and you've gone through everything that you just said, you know, what we talked about last week, which is really a process step-by-step of how, once you've defined your niche, how to go after it. This week is how to find that secret partner that can really help you achieve your goals that most people probably aren't thinking about.
Put some gasoline on it.
Yeah, put some gasoline and maybe not from your own tank.
Yep. Interesting.
Yeah.
Personal best.
I'll dangle that out there. We'll be back to it in a minute.
Dangle that gas tank.
never a safe zone.
No.
My personal best, we had a great time in Kentucky last week. Mm. We had an awesome, awesome event out there. Well received. We enjoyed a lot of things. You know, all things Babylon related. We supported a ton of people on it. But my highlight from this past 7 days was shooting. I tied my low round. Played at Framingham Country Club on Saturday. I tied my low round of 76.
Wow.
And two of the four bogeys, I had no double bogeys. Two of the four bogeys I had were three putts, which were unfortunate. But I'm almost like, you know, three putts on a tough greens. It's like, it's going to happen.
76. My man.
And I did it with Sudkin, who no one else knows except you and me. But it was a good feeling.
Good for you. That's awesome, man. So what was the celebratory blueberry beer after?
It was actually three main Maine Brewing Company beers. Ooh,
love that one.
Yeah, it was
definitely
good.
Could not afford that at 21.
Yeah. No. I don't know if I can afford it now.
Yeah. Still see it on a statement later.
Yeah.
That's awesome. 76. Jeez.
Yeah. It was,
well done.
It was a fun round.
Good for you, man.
Good special time.
I like that.
We're
like
amateurs, that. So anytime we can shoot low, and that, to some people that's not low, but to most people it is. And anytime you can shoot low, you celebrate it because you don't know the next time it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
I had it one time before, and that was it. So. We'll
see. Game on. I love that.
How about you? Personal best last 7 days?
Personal best last 7 days. Taking Mason to Ogunquit was definitely my highlight. I got a day with Mason and a day with Emma. And sorry, Emma, when you listen to this in a couple years, I chose Mason. That'll be a t-shirt. I chose Mason. but Mason and I went to Ogunquit. Ogunquit's in Maine, and it's where KG and I got engaged on the Marginal Way. It's this cliff walk. And I've done that walk maybe 100 times. It's amazing. It's like a 1.5-2 mile walk along the rocks and overlooking, and you end up in Perkins Cove. It's just tremendous. We got lobsters after. It's fantastic. But with Mason, it's so different because you've walked that walk before. It's beautiful. You walk on the side, you walk on the walk, you go the other way. Mason looks down after like a couple steps into the Marginal Way, and he's like, "Why don't we go down on the rocks? Like, can we go on the rocks?" And I said, "Sure." We go on the rocks, and I kept being like, "Hey, we should go back. We should go back." He wouldn't go back. We went the rocks all the way around.
Whoa.
It took 2 hours.
Oh.
2 full hours because it was just like an adventure to him.
Yeah, yeah.
He was diving and jumping, falling in the ocean. It was just like, I've never walked the Marginal Way that way. And it was the coolest moment because after we were gassed, he was sweating all over.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like having a blast. And it's so interesting taking a really young child on something you've done a gazillion times because they see it in a totally different lens.
And then you do.
Yeah.
Because like when would you ever go with KG and walk on the rocks for 2 hours?
I would be single.
Yeah.
She would leave
me. But she, well, if you had done that when you proposed, there was no way she'd have said yes.
No, like, no.
Is this peering into the future here?
She would have taken that rock and thrown it with the other rocks. But it was so it was super cool.
That's
so
awesome.
It was
That's
awesome
really,
time.
Really cool.
Yeah, it's fun time.
I feel like we should remember, ZB, if you're listening to this now and you'll listen to it later when you edit it, get the t-shirt, I chose Mason.
I chose Mason.
That's a winning t-shirt.
Get it in a 2T and give it to Emma.
Okay.
Anyways, so into the episode 21, we are talking about your secret partner to help you get on with that step-by-step process in your niche. Now, when we talked about the niche of the pediatricians last episode, there's a lot of work you got to do on your own, right? You're going to have to reach out to a lot of people on how they've dominated their niche market, including us, and figure this out. But a lot of the steps we went over, you might need some financial support. And so this episode is specifically geared towards insurance agents and insurance agent owners. Because either which way, we do feel like there should be financial support. You can get it out of your own pocket, you can do whatever, but who's an example of a secret partner?
Well, it'd be a marketing representative from one of the carriers that your agency works with.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a producer or you're an agency owner, you have that relationship. And I think that, you know, obviously, it's a small distinction is if you're a producer, you know, you might need to get approval and some, you know, from the owner to be able to connect with these marketing reps and ask for some support.
Sure.
But assuming you do that, and it's, you know, typically most carriers are pretty open to it.
Yes.
And I think we're going to go through today a little bit specifically how to tackle that arrangement, how to tackle that. Because like many, agents typically don't approach this topic. Similarly, they don't approach COIs or referral partners the right way. They don't really approach the marketing rep the right way.
Tell me an example of what we've heard across the country of the wrong way and how we've heard people do it.
Two examples. You asked for one. I'll give you two. One example would be they don't. And I think a lot of agents don't approach their marketing rep and ask for financial support at all.
It's fearful of the no.
Fearful of the no. Maybe they don't feel like they're giving them enough business. Maybe they're worried because it's never been a topic that's brought up in the past. They just figure it might be inappropriate.
Good point.
And then that's the worst. But then the second subset of mistakes that we see is asking the wrong way. It's just like asking a new referral partner that you've never met before. Your first meeting, you're saying, "Hey, I'd love to get your business. How can I get your referrals?" Like, you would never go to a marketing rep and say the same thing. But like, "Hey, can I get $2,500 for a marketing project I have?" Like, you just wouldn't ask that way. It's not going to be well received because they're not going to see what's in it for them.
Or it's like by an email saying the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I got this project I'm working on. I would love $2,500 and I promise some business will be coming your way.
Right.
Like, the marketing rep never asked you for business.
Right.
Like, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't even know you spent a ton of time on it, right?
Exactly.
So we're gonna go through a step-by-step process on how you should approach this marketing rep meeting, right?
Yeah.
So you can go through it. And, you know, we related, we were on stage last week in Kentucky and we related this with our friend Seth Zaremba, that it's like your kids. Mm-hmm. Your kids walking up to you and just saying like, hey, I need some money. Like, what is this money for? Mm. What is going on? But unfortunately, we're going at our marketing reps like our kids are coming at us. We just walk up to them and be like, hey, giving you a lot of business lately. Would love some money.
Right.
And the marketing rep's like, settle down.
Yeah.
Settle down.
Yeah. It's crazy when you make the comparison to the kids. It's so true. Mm. It's so accurate. Mm. And we're not saying that any carrier, if you take this approach, is going to say sure.
No way.
But that's not the point of this. The point of this is the only way they're going to say yes is if you follow this step-by-step process.
I love it. So the first one, and for those of you who have listened, so AKA 100% of you, who have listened to our Master the Meeting, you're going to hear some very similarities to that podcast, and it's important that you look, this can be done in multiple ways. The very first step with this meeting is you got to plan for the meeting.
Right.
You can't just make a phone call or an email asking for money.
Yeah, if you look at your calendar and oh, by the way, like it's 11:58 and at noon you have a meeting with ABC Company's representative that you scheduled 3 weeks ago and you haven't planned for it yet, you're screwed.
Oh my God, epic fail. Yeah. So the first thing is you plan for the meeting. And you know, Matt, you and I always talk about doing a little bit of the research. So with this, these marketing reps are real people. Mm-hmm. They have lives. Like, let's do a tiny bit of research. Who is their partner, wife or husband? Do they have any kids? Where do they live? Do some basic R&D. Look at their social media accounts. What's happened in their life lately?
A lot of times that, you know, they've done things with family. They've recently gone on trips. They, you know they love golf. You know, that type of information is going to be invaluable to make sure that you start off the meeting the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. Great thing, ask them what their personal best thing that happened in the last 30 days was. Mm-hmm. What trips have you gone on? What trips are you going on? Get some basic chatter and then write that down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you got to think about. You're planning in the meeting ahead of time. I'm going to ask them some things. I'm going to make sure I write them down because you got to open them up and almost, I don't want to use the phrase, but it's pretty similar. It's like you got to butter them up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You got to talk about things outside of your ask because you're asking for money.
Right.
Right?
Right. And it's not even their money. It's the company they work for money, so it's more difficult for them to say yes.
Because they have to go justify this.
Right.
This isn't just like you ask for $2,500, I'm gonna stroke a check.
Right. And I think that's the key to the next point here is that still in the planning phase, because it's not their money and because they have to go justify it to someone else, you better give them some specific nuggets.
Yes.
One of which being is, what is this for?
What's your plan?
Like, what's your plan? And I think we've even failed at this in the past because we've said, we've tied the ask with production requests or production guarantees or production commitments or whatever. Mm. Instead of tying the ask with a specific project or product that we're trying to develop that will lead to the results that we want, that both parties want.
Absolutely, because when we've done this in the past, incorrectly, about 7 or 8 years ago, we would ask when production was good, and then sometimes the marketing rep would hit us with a left hook and just say, well, your loss ratio sucks. Mm. And then what are you gonna do? Mm-hmm. They're basically saying, yeah, production's good, but the business you're giving isn't.
Right.
And then your whole plan's gone to shreds.
Right.
So yeah, we need to plan about, you need to take your plan and figure out how to make it digestible to the person. So yeah.
So I was gonna ask, maybe we give some examples of, so you're a pediatrician backing up. You have determined that's your niche. You have gone out and you've done the research. You've asked a ton of questions. You figured out the pain. You figured out opportunity. You know how to add value. You've built out this program of sorts that you want to utilize to go to pediatricians, but also to influencers who can influence other pediatricians.
Yeah.
What are some examples of things that may cost money, small and large, that you can think of?
This is definitely a great point. This is right in the planning phase. So we talked about last episode, you want to probably do a landing page. We do not want you to make that landing page right now. Etch-a-sketch it. Just write it on a piece of paper, design the whole thing out, make the buttons a clear landing page. Landing page costs money, not tremendous, but a couple $100 maybe, whatever you might think. Design that out on a piece of paper. That's step one. You should have that for this meeting.
I think PediaSure was the one you brought up last week.
That's bought.
I know. Someone reached out and said it was bought.
Yeah. I checked too. I didn't make a bid. Yeah. Number two, you're going to want some kind of leave behind. We don't love leave behinds, but it makes you look a little bit more professional in this plan. And on top of all this, if we're not 100% sure it's gonna work, I'd rather somebody else pay for it. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna, again, draw that PDF out, how you like it, and maybe insert company logo here.
Yeah, and even if it's not a leave behind, to your point, it could just be something that you use during your presentation to be
exactly.
more credible.
The process.
A laminated four-step. Yep. A laminated three-step to success or whatever it might be.
And tell them they can put their logo in.
Yeah, yeah, co-branded if that's the case. Because no one else is going to care. Like, you're going to meet with a pediatrician and they're going to be like, who's that ABC company on there?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, they're the best in the pediatrician world.
Or you just put it on the back.
Yeah.
But
small print.
Yeah, so okay, so we've designed this plan. We have some kind of PDF, we have a landing page idea, you know, maybe there's some kind of newsletter campaign, whatever you want to do. Some of this is going to cost some money, and even if it's just time.
Targeted videos would be another option,
exactly.
right?
Social.
Like, let's say you've filmed a quick little snippet, like just a 30-second snippet. You've professionally edited it, you can do all that with really no money, but then you show that to the actual
exactly.
partner and say,
exactly.
I'm going to need $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever it is.
Yep.
You at least have something tangible that you can ask for them. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, this is going to cost $2,000. It's going to run for a month, and it's going to hopefully generate X amount of leads and opportunities that we'll both benefit from.
Exactly. So we have, that is the pre-phase of this meeting. Is one, we've reached out, asked for a meeting. Two, we've developed some materials that were ideas, plenty of concepts, four or five maybe that you want to have. You've done research on the marketing representative that you'll be meeting with or whomever from the company you'll be meeting with, right? Mm-hmm. Now we kind of go into the meeting. The meeting happens, right? You're prepared. You have all this stuff. How do you start? How do you start that meeting?
Well, I think just like...
Do you throw up on them?
Yeah, you throw up everything. You just dump it all on the table and throw a sticky up in the air.
We joke, but that happens.
Yeah.
We joke, but like somebody walks in and they get ambushed.
Well,
they get so excited.
Well, they're excited, and then the other half of them are emotionally charged because they need mm-hmm. the money and they want the money, and it's like they're talking about a really sensitive topic, which is money. And so it's like sometimes you just like don't know what to do and you just start explaining why you need it before the person knows what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
So this is just like any other meeting. You lead with questions.
Boom.
You just lead with questions. You start with, it could be a super simple question, just like you were meeting with a new referral partner. You're not going to just go right in and say like, hey, like what's your biggest pain point? You know, and you're going to start with like what's going on in your world, like what's going on in your life, like challenges you're having, as you said, maybe a personal best, a professional best.
I love getting personal here. You know what's not a good question that we, production thinks. Like things like, let's talk about how the agency has done with your company and how your company is doing. Try to get away from the company objectives here, right? Get a little bit deeper in the personal and go as long in this category as you want. Because the more they talk about themselves, as we always say, the more you will win. The more they talk about their company goals, they might already have in their head that they are gonna be asked for money in this meeting. And they might already be leading in with, we're not doing so well, business is a little slow, and then you're kind of in a bad spot here.
Yeah.
So if you kind of lead more to the personal side about how things are.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
If you ask them how the company's doing and they share not so good, then it makes it really hard for you to ask.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Hope you have a rainy day fund because I'm about to ask for money.
Right.
It's not gonna work. We've almost called this like the butter up part of the meeting. Really try to figure out what's going on in their life, right? Okay, so we've got past that. Now we kind of got to get into, as Scott Howell says, the meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
The meat and potatoes.
Love that reference.
I love meat and potatoes.
And this is the time when you go through and review exactly what you have already done ahead of time.
So you don't start with the money you need, right?
Right. No. I have a great idea. I've done a lot of work, and I want to just share with you a little bit of what I've done so far.
Exactly.
I've determined that pediatricians are going to be my go-to because it's something that you guys are really good at, we're good at. I want to make sure that's all I focus on. Mm. I have a plan. I've interviewed a ton of pediatricians and people in the industry. Mm. I've determined what their pain points and opportunities are. I've built out, look, I want to show you these sketches and ideas. This is how I'm going to attack this niche. I'm going to be the number one pediatrician insurer in the state of whatever.
Boom.
And I need your help.
Yeah. And I need $25,000 to buy pediassure.com. Yes, whatever you might need. And then, so we've laid all that out perfectly. And I think that too often we go into this saying, okay, I've calculated this out. And let's just say you need $1,000. Let's aim to there. Because I don't think you'll need a ton of money for this.
Yeah.
Let's just say you need $1,000. Please don't ask for $1,000. Go for like $3,000 or $2,500. Because you know that they're going to try to meet in the middle or probably go down a little bit or figure it out. So ask for a tiny bit more, not because you're greedy, just because you're gonna have to meet in the middle somewhere. It's almost a little bit like a car sale, a car dealer, right? You just mm-hmm. gotta kind of meet it out. And then if you get the amount that you get,
well,
awesome.
Yeah, I think the theory behind that is if you know a project is gonna cost X and you tell somebody this is what the project is gonna cost, and it's a partnership sort of arrangement, it's natural to expect them to reply with, great, we'll give you half. Or we'll give you a chunk or whatever. But if you're asking for someone like, I'm gonna do work, you're gonna do work, we're gonna do this together, we're both gonna benefit. Well, then we both should share in the cost. So if you ask for the full amount, they're never gonna give that. Why would they? They're not carrying the full load.
And you're not asking for tens of thousands of dollars here. You're going to be giving them businesses. The ultimate win-win, as you said, ask for 2 to 3x the amount you need. That way, if you get it, my goodness, will you use it? Just make a Facebook targeting campaign for an extra $500 or $600 and call it a day.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I mean, some of these carriers have already set aside co-branded dollars or co-marketing dollars specifically for this.
Yeah.
You might be asking them for something you already have the authority to get.
Yeah.
You never know.
And with this theory, you might get 3X every single time because you've done it the right way. You've gone through the process.
Yeah. I think coming back, though, to when you explain what you want built or what you need to do or what it's going to cost and you go 3X, it's important here to not guarantee that if you do get said money and you do mm-hmm. implement said strategy, you will create X amount of results.
No.
You need to say, this is what I expect it will yield, and I hope it will, but this is what I'm gonna do, and these are the behaviors I'm gonna run with, these are the meetings I'm gonna set up, this is what I'm gonna run, this is what the strategy looks like, and I hope it will produce what it will produce, but don't guarantee results.
No way, that's a great point. This is a trial. You don't know which way is gonna work, but what you can guarantee is if it does work, you're going to need more money, because it's just gonna require
additional funding.
Yeah. And so that's where you can say, like, I guarantee when this works, we're going to meet again because it's going to be a win-win for both of us and we can develop a bigger strategy.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's where you kind of go.
Well, right? if you happen to, let's say you do the PDF, you laminate, you have a couple, you know, landing page or whatever, and you want to just create one video and you want to target pediatricians and you're in a 50-mile radius or whatever. Well, you'll probably, if it's done well, you'll probably be the only insurance agent in the state that made a video specifically for pediatricians.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it and it creates some results, you better be pouring fuel on that.
Gasoline.
Whose tank? Yours or theirs?
Theirs. Yeah. All right, so we've got through that. We've got through the meeting. We've got the money.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us 3X or 1X, but you've done a perfect job. This is also where we fail as insurance agents and business owners. The thank you is weak. And then this is almost like a once and done kind of process. Or even worse, you get declined and you just don't even thank them for their time the right way. They don't really want to do this ever again with you. Even if business comes, they kind of feel a little used.
Mm-hmm.
We need to follow a set process for how you end these meetings,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what's a good example of how we would do that or
well,
teach?
Yeah, I think, you know, writing a handwritten note, making sure it's really thoughtful and specific, and sending that after the meeting is really important. But I think setting expectations for continued communication on said project
Great point.
Is really important too. So let's say you get $1,000 or whether they agree to it right then or there, or they have to talk to their boss and get back to you, let's just assume they're gonna give it to you. And you get that money. Well, it's important to keep them posted. Like being able to keep track of all the actions and behaviors, meaning the meetings that you had, the amount of videos that were watched, or whatever the project entails, is gonna be really important data. Because then you're gonna show, okay, this is how many sales were produced, this is what we did, and then next time you go back, it's like, I got some significant data to show you.
So it's a two-parter. So one, you talked about the data. Gotta keep track of the data so you can keep the relationship strong. The other part I wanna talk about is if you get one of two answers. You go, one, I got the money for you. You're good, Matt. Stroke a check. Okay, you write a handwritten note to that person. The second part is, I got to check with my boss and double check. You need to ask at that moment, who is your boss? Because you need to get that full name. And then you need to write two handwritten notes, regardless of the outcome. Even before, the day the person leaves, you write a handwritten note to the marketing rep and a handwritten note to the boss. probably get there the next day, the way the mail works, right? Or the day after, they get a handwritten note on their desk talking about, thank you so much for your time. I'm excited to grow with you guys. I'm just tremendously thrilled that you would even support this wild and crazy idea that I have that's gonna work. But I can't do it without you, and I appreciate your partnership. You send that out to both those, you're getting the money.
Definitely.
You're getting the money.
Definitely.
So you have the data, which is so important that you talked about. I'm glad you brought that up, because you get in front of you, constantly keep you updated. You're my partner, you will not be left in the dark.
They wanna know what you're doing with the money.
Bingo.
They wanna know it so that if it works, if it doesn't work, well, fine, you kept us posted. But if it works, you'll never get it again unless you show them it worked.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know it worked.
Yeah, and if you get a no, you better show them the data too.
Yeah, well, I think that's the other piece, is like, you're gonna track this either way.
Yes.
And if you do get a no, it's okay, but don't let that stop you. Tell them, here's the plan. You can't afford it now, or you decide that you don't wanna invest in this idea. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pay for it out of my own pocket. I'm gonna make it work. I'm gonna come back and show you the results. If I show you the results and it really is a win-win, will you then finance a future growth?
And then you're gonna pay 5x.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our friend Seth Zaremba talks about. Right. Like, you don't support me now, that's okay. I don't look at you any differently. But when it does work, it's gonna be even tremendously more expensive.
That's how you're gonna get business. Yes. Otherwise, it's going somewhere else. Whoever else has decided to support
That's not
me.
A threat, you're just not betting on me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bet on myself for a little while, because you know what, it's only a couple $1,000, I'll pay for it myself. I'll get this done. But where we, again, not to keep talking about fails, what you do not do in this moment is, if you get a no, please, do not say to the person, I'm gonna go to a different insurance company and go chat with them. That is a threat. That is not what we do. You can do that in silence, but don't be rude here. They know you're gonna go to somebody else if they say no. And they're okay with that, that's why they said no.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just say, I'm gonna invest my own money and keep it moving.
Yeah,
right?
And I'm gonna keep track. And then when I come back, get
the
yes
results.
Somehow.
Yeah.
You know, get the yes of like, hey, can we meet again in 6 months or 4 months and I'll show you the results.
Boom. That's it. That's your secret partner, right? And we've talked about how to plan for the meeting, how to master the meeting, and then what to do after the meeting. It's the same thing we talked about earlier.
It's the exact same process. It's not being utilized nearly enough. The carriers are the perfect partner. They have a vested interest in you winning. They have the money in the deep pockets. They also have the budget. They just have no one coming to them the right way asking for the money. Mm-hmm. This is what they want to spend the money on. Huge newsflash, this is what they want to spend the money on, but they're never told in the right fashion. They never explain the right way of why this is going, how it's gonna work. And so they keep it. They give it to other weird requests.
They put it in their cargo pants.
Cargo shorts.
They just have pockets.
Yeah, or the rip-off ones.
Oh, the zip-offs?
Yeah, the zip-offs.
For the flash floods?
Yeah.
I like that.
21,
baby.
All right,
follow on, buddy.